We're a little short on personnel today. But Elizabeth Cloninger now is Elizabeth Esrae. The wedding took place yesterday, and I trust everything went well. I saw some pictures, and those look pretty good. But the McGuire's, the Durwals, all these others that are gone. But we're here. Amen. We're here in the house of God to worship Him. And we come because of God, not because of a man or because of a person. We do serve a living God. I'm supposed to announce summer camp applications for Sunday school and youth. Our ages are due soon. Please see the monthly bulletin for specific details. And remember, all of our announcements are out on the board and in the church bulletin. Also, I don't see any first-time guests, but if there are any, we want to make sure and see them after service for just a little bit. Amen. I'm glad that I know God. Somebody said, why do you go to church so much? I like to go to church. I like to, what's that song? I love the thrill that I feel when I get together with God's wonderful people. Amen. And besides that, Jesus, when he went to Jerusalem, the Bible says, as was custom, he went into the synagogue. Well, if it's good enough for Jesus to go to church, it's good enough for me to go to church, that's for sure. Amen. Today, we're going to start a new series for the month of May. And today is Putting God First. Probably preaching to the choir about this, but that's all right. Sometimes we need to be reminded, Lord, I didn't put you first in that situation, so... Anybody ever been there? Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 9. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy trespasses shall burst out with new wine. The writer's just letting us know that when we honor God, everything's going to fall into place. The blessings are going to come. Honoring God by putting him first is probably the most important decision we can make in our life. And it's a decision, literally, we have to make every day. When I get up in the morning, I have got to put God first, pray first, read the scriptures, whatever. But putting God first, and when I fail to put him first in all of my decisions, in my goals, even in my worship. Now, you may think that sounds funny, but we've got to put God first in our worship. There's nothing else that is worthy to be worshiped other than God. And if we fail to do that and put him first, we lose that communication with God. We lose that communion with God that the blessings stop. Putting God first, I thought of so many people in the scriptures that I could talk about. Job probably is the most obvious one. Here's a man, the Bible said, loved God and hated evil. And he loved God so much that he would offer sacrifices for his children just in case they did something that God would be displeased with. And so he put God first in all that he did, even above his family, above his children. And we know that the enemy is going to attack us whether we're serving God or not. Just because we come, you know, before you came to God, I guarantee you, you suffered some things that bothered you, hurt you. You had trials and tribulations before you came to God. Coming to God doesn't mean I'm not going to have any more trials, any more troubles, any more problems. Doesn't mean that at all. Here Job was, a man that loved God and hated evil, and the devil said, I want to get to him. I think I can make him curse you to your face, he told God. God said, I'll tell you what, I've got confidence in Job. I wonder... Could God ever say that about me? I'll leave that alone. But God said, I got confidence in Job. You can do anything to him, but take his life. You can't take his life. And so we know the story that servants started coming in. Your cattle are gone, another servant, your camels are gone, another servant, your fields are gone, wiped out. And finally a servant came in and said, your children are all dead. They're all gone. All you've got left, Job, now is your wife, and that's it. And your wife said, why don't you curse God and die? Job put God first, even above his own family. And Job made the statement, God hath given and God taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And that's something that we need to be in our lives. Yes, I've had troubles. I've had heartaches. I've had situations come that I really don't appreciate and I didn't like having. But God saw me through. God's in charge. God takes care of his people no matter what. Job, okay, God give, God take away. Now I know what I can do. I can touch his body and make him suffer physically, and then he'll curse you. And then God said, you can do anything, but you can't take his life. And we know the story. His friends came and told him he must have sinned. He must have done something terrible to suffer such terrible pain and suffering. But Job said, look, I came into this world naked. And I go out of this world naked. I'm not going to lose my integrity. I'm not going to curse God and die. I'm going to serve God, and I'm still going to put him first. You see, when God desires to have our all, not just our second place, not our secondary things. When Moses went on the mountaintop, God talked to him for 40 days, and in 40 days, God gave him many, many commandments. So we concentrate on the 10, but there were many commandments that God had given to Moses. But in Exodus 20 and verse 3, he said this, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Now, you notice gods in that scripture is small g, because there's only one big G, only one God. And God said, you can't have any other gods before me. What is a god if it's not someone to worship? Well, that's what a god is. It's to worship. Hollywood is not a god. Football players are not gods. Television is not God. And anything I put before God becomes a god. Anything I put before my living God becomes a stagnant god. Verse 4, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Praise God. There are many things we can put before God that we would not consider is a god. I don't want a medal. But if I can think of a reason not to pray, that reason becomes before God. If I can think of a reason not to come to church, well, I got tickets to the football game, man. And it's only good this Sunday. No, God is jealous. He demands our complete attention. He demands to be first in our life. Whatever I esteem more than or put before God becomes more important to me than God is. And I can't afford. Listen, God will never be second place. He'll never play second fiddle. Amen. God is a good God. He's a great God. And whether we're on the mountaintop or in the valley, he's worthy of our worship. Even when troubles come our way, he's worthy to be worshiped. When situations have come up and circumstances have us bogged down, he still deserves our worship. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Whether we're hurting, so you might be so excited today you can't hardly stand yourself. Somebody said, I'm so good, I should be two. It should be two of me. I'm so happy. And then someone else come along and say, man, I have got a problem. I am discouraged. Situations have developed, and I'm hurting. Both should be worshiping God. Both needs to be worshiping God. Both need to be putting God first. Amen. And whether I'm hurting or whether I'm excited, God deserves the praise. Amen. We don't deserve, or we don't praise him because we're worthy. We don't praise him because we feel like praising God today. We praise him because he's worthy of praise. We lift him up because he's worthy to be lifted up. We honor him because he's worthy to be honored. Praise God. Paul said, I've learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith be content. He was letting us know, you know, I know what it is to abound. I know what it is to have plenty. And I know what it is to be abased. I know what it is not to have anything. I know what it is to have friends. And I know what it is to have friends turn on me and persecute me. Paul said, whatever I'm in, whether I'm on a mountaintop and excited or I'm in the valley wondering if I can live for tomorrow, I'm still going to serve him. And I'm going to be content in what God has done for me and what he's given me. Putting God first will bring peace in any circumstance. There's some here today I know are going through some problems, and I just want to encourage you that God has everything in his control, in his hand. Amen. And worshiping God now, let me tell you what it does is open the blessings. When we put God first, it's like a pipeline to heaven. And when we fail to put God first, we kind of shut the door on the blessings. I hope to be able to prove that. God led Israel out of bondage by a mighty hand, the Bible said. And he told Pharaoh, let my people go. You know the story. He refused to accept God as a sovereign God. He refused to accept that this God of Israel was the great God. And you know the story. The plagues came. And finally, God said, now, I'm going to have the death angel pass through the country. And the firstborn of everyone is going to die. Unless, Israel, you slay that lamb, take the blood and put it over the doorpost and over the mantle. And when I see the blood, oh, great song, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Pharaoh didn't believe that. Pharaoh would not accept that God is God, that God was sovereign. And when Passover was done through the night and the death angel came and those that were not covered by the blood died, it was called the Passover. And God said, you remember this night. You remember the Passover. You remember what happened. You need to understand, because that is a sign of what is going to take place. Because at Calvary, Jesus became that lamb. He became the sacrificial lamb. You see, when Israel did what God told them to do, he led them out of bondage. And that was probably one of the greatest emancipations of all time. There's never been anything like it before, and probably hasn't been since. But Jesus took the punishment that we deserved on Calvary because that we have the opportunity for salvation. Why shouldn't we be happy? Why shouldn't we be excited about God? He deserves all of our praise. He deserves all of our worship. He deserves all the honor and glory. We're beholden to him. Without the Passover, without Christ, we would be of all men most miserable. When I don't put him first, I deprive him of the glory he deserves. Listen, I can't imagine the pain and suffering Jesus went through on Calvary. I can't imagine it. I really don't want to imagine it because the pain must have been so excruciating. But because of that, he purchased our salvation. Just as sure as he got Israel out of captivity through the sacrifice of the lambs and the blood over the doorpost and so forth, he has delivered you and I from our bondage. We were all bound in sin. We were in iniquity, and we were lost without God. In fact, I don't know if there's any Israelites in here, any Jews in here, but we were scum. We were the dogs of the time. But Jesus said, I love these people. I love this world. And because of that, I'm going to give my life for the world. And we were bound in our sin. I know we were. There's not a soul in here that can't tell me that you were a sinner. Listen, I was raised in church, but I needed salvation. I needed the blood of Christ applied to my life. Yeah, I've not always been a goody two-shoes. I know some of you were, but I wasn't. But when I don't esteem him higher than my very life, if I don't deserve, I deprive him of his rightful place as my Savior. I said, God, no, I know you saved me, but I want to do something else for a while. When I don't put God first, that's what I'm telling him. Lord, I want to do something else for a while. I want to do something different. I want to live life my way. I want to do what I want to do. But putting God first just simply means to hear and obey the word of God. Hallelujah. When we honor and obey him, he's then free to bless our lives in a way that he couldn't without that. Listen, I have been blessed so much in my life. And if we were to testify today, we probably every one of us would tell the same story. But I've been blessed in my life. And I don't deserve the blessings of God. I don't deserve the blessings that I have received. But God has loved me so much. And when I put him first, those blessings just keep on coming. They keep on coming. Amen. They didn't stop when I got the Holy Ghost. Those blessings didn't stop when I got married or when my children were born. The blessings just keep on coming. I'm 74 years old, going on 75, and I'm still being blessed by God. Why shouldn't I put him first? Why shouldn't I listen to the word of God and obey? Amen. Obey. You know what? God can't forgive me unless I say, Lord, I'm sorry, forgive me. Then he can forgive me. And I'm gonna step on some toes in the world, maybe. But I can't have those sins washed away until I obey the word of God and am baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. See, I have to do something. I've got to put God first. I've got to obey his word. Praise God. He can't wash my sins away unless I submit myself to the word of God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Praise God. And then I'll receive the Holy Ghost. And when I receive the Holy Ghost, I'll tell you, I'll never forget the night I received the Holy Ghost. It was such an awesome experience. And you know what? In my life, there's been a lot of things happen, and I've wondered. But I've never wondered about that. You can't take that away from me. You can try to discourage me. You can tell me that this gospel isn't true. You can tell me anything you want to, but you can't take away from the fact that God filled me with his spirit, and I began to speak in tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. I may have had problems. I may have had trouble. I may have slipped. I may have fell. I may have stumbled. It doesn't matter. I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and God is a merciful God, and he continues to bless me and lift me up. Praise God. God desires to bless us. It's his will to bless us. Amen. But he's bound to operate within the boundaries he set. Here's another example of obeying the word of God. Mark 11 and 25:26. And when you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any, that is so difficult sometimes. You don't have to raise your hands, but how many have been hurt real bad by someone, family, or in church? And it's, boy, to forgive? Forgive if you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. In other words, I've got to obey the word of God. For me to be forgiven, I've got to forgive. That's what the word says. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive you your trespasses. See, when we put God first, obeying the word of God, doesn't matter if I agree with what the word of God says. Is that all right? It doesn't matter what I think. What does the word of God say? This is the law of God. We can't ignore the law of God. When we choose to ignore his word and fail to honor him by obeying his principles, we are by default opposing him and relegating him to second place. I don't think I want to do that. Why do apostolics dress like they do? That's so silly. I've heard that. Well, I've been set free from that bondage, I've heard. Listen, it's in the Word of God. The way we act, the way we talk, the places we go, the things we do, it's in the Word of God. And I'm going to put that above your ideas and your opinions. Amen. He also said, forgive and you shall be forgiven. Ask and it shall be given. Rather, seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall. We do something first. And when we have done what God told us to do, then the blessings come. Amen. And we don't do it just to get a blessing. Understand, I don't come to church just to get a blessing, although I love every blessing. But I come to church because it's the right thing to do. It's in the Word of God, to worship Him and to praise Him. When we honor God and do our part, it opens the avenue of blessings from Him. They just keep on coming. Praise God. Jesus was asked, what is the great commandment? In Matthew 22, starting with verse 37, Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. That's everything. There's nothing else of you. We are body, soul, and spirit. And when we worship God with all of our heart, all of our soul, and love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, there's nothing left. That's the first and great commandment. Do I love God so much that I will put Him above my family? Do I love God so much I put Him above everything, my wealth, my riches? Rich man came to Jesus one time and said, what do I have to do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, sell all that you've got and give to the poor and take up your cross and follow me. The young man went away sorrowful. Well, I've kept the commandments all my life, but no, that's not enough. Sell everything you've got. Give to the poor. Follow me. You see, the idea of following Jesus is foreign to a lot of people, to this world. It's following the Lord is just doesn't make sense to a lot of people. Why do you go to church, you give your money. Man, you could have so much money in the bank if you just wouldn't give so much to the church. If I didn't give so much to the church, I'd be so poor. I would be broke spiritually. Amen. Well, I'll get back to that in a while. In verse 38, this is the first and great commandment, verse 39. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. We honor God by obeying His word. And do you know, if you take those two commandments, go back to the Ten Commandments. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. It takes care of the first ten of the Ten Commandments. Love thy neighbors as thyself. It'll take care of the other parts of the Ten Commandments. Don't steal. Don't kill. Don't covet. And Jesus said, on those two hang all the law and the prophets. Praise God. Isaiah tells us about why we must accept and honor God. Isaiah 45, and start with verse 20. Assemble yourself. Now listen, God saw all these so-called gods everybody had. They carved them out of wood and they carved them out of stone. And he said, assemble yourselves and come. Draw near together, ye that are escaped of the nations. They have no knowledge that set up the wood of their graven images. They didn't plant those trees. Your gods didn't take care. And you take the wood and carve them up and make them a god. And pray unto a God that cannot save. Tell ye and bring them near. Yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from ancient time? Who hath told it from that time? Have not I the Lord? And there is no God else beside me? And be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. There is not a Trinity. There's not a second person of the Trinity. There's not God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. It is one God, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, Father of all, above all, through all, and in y'all. Hallelujah. Praise God. I have sworn by myself, he said in verse 23, the word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear. That don't leave anybody out. There's coming a time when every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. God who spoke the worlds into existence. God who created all things and said, there's no God beside me. I did it all. I did it all. Read John 1st chapter. You'll see who created all things. When we submit to His will, His authority, we open the windows of blessings for our lives. When we say, not my will, thine be done, we're putting God first. But I know what I want. I know what I want to do. I'm going to say this a couple of times. The universe doesn't revolve around me. It revolves around God. Listen, God killed all the firstborn in Egypt because Pharaoh refused to submit to God's plan, God's rule. Israel obeyed God's command that required all Israel to give their very best lamb as a sacrifice to Him and to put blood on the doorpost and mantle. Like I said, the death angel saw those houses passed over. That obedience saved everyone that was inside that house. When Daddy took that lamb, slit his throat, took the blood, put it on the... That took care of everybody in that house. Don't give up on your family. Don't give up on your kids. Don't give up on your husband, your wife. Amen. You got the blood applied to you in baptism. You repented and were baptized with the Holy Ghost. You've had the blood of Christ applied to you, to your life. Now God will bless you. He'll bless your family through you. Amen. That was all a precedent that God was going to use in the future. The Israelites observing the Passover I'm talking about. Amen. When we honor God through obedience, we give Him our best. He's released. God is released to bless us. You see, when the woman came to Jesus, she said, I've got a daughter that's vexed of a spirit. Jesus didn't even pay any attention to her. The disciples said, won't you tell her to go away? Jesus didn't even answer them. And she kept after Him and kept after Him. Finally, Jesus turned to him and said, it's not meet to give the children's food to dogs. She was a dog. Well, she said, I'm putting you first. She came to praise Him. The scripture says she came to praise Him. She said, yea, Lord. But even the dogs get the crumbs that falls from the master's table. Amen. When I put God first, listen, you're not a dog. You're not dogs. You are children of God. You get to sit at the table. You get to sit at the table and feast on the master's meat, what the master has for us. Praise God. But when Jesus looked at her, he said, oh, great is thy faith. Go. It's all taken care of. It's all taken care of. Your daughter's okay now. Because, you see, when we put God first, our family's going to be taken care of. What we're praying about, it's going to be taken care of. We've got to honor Him even when it seems dark. Oh, I'll take the crumbs, Lord. Just give me the crumbs. No. You get to sit at the table. Don't be satisfied with crumbs. Hallelujah. You're a child of God. Sit up to the table. Put Him first. And everything's going to be right. Even when we're walking through the valley of the shadow of death, David said, I will fear no evil. I've got God. God's with me. God never promised there wouldn't be problems. He didn't promise there wouldn't be struggles. But He did promise this. Isaiah 54:17, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. He didn't say the weapon wouldn't be formed. But He said, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Man, what an honor we have been given by a mighty God. Amen. By putting Him first. It's sad but true that we sometimes try to find a middle ground between what God said and what we want. Am I speaking true? Some of the most dangerous words we can utter is, well, I think. Somebody said this morning, it's dangerous to think. Brother Harper, boy, isn't that the truth? Or, well, the way I see it is, doesn't matter what I think or how I see it. What does the Word of God say? When I go by the Word of God. But we tend to push the fence. Let's put a little bit farther out. Let's not be so demanding of people. We don't have to have such holiness, do we? Can't we push that fence out a little bit farther? I mean, church down the street's doing okay, and they allow that. Somebody said, I don't have enough money to pay my tithes this month. Because if I pay my tithes, I won't have enough money to feed my children. God understands that. A lot of times that happens with new Christians. They haven't got the idea and the law of tithing. And God will understand that. So I won't pay tithes this month. Listen, when you pay your tithes, God will supply. Amen. Malachi 3:10. You all know this one. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me. Prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts. If I will not open you the windows of heaven, pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Hallelujah. You mean if I pay my tithes, God's going to open up the windows of heaven and put a lot of money in my bank? No. You might get a financial blessing, a raise on your job, or a job that you didn't have before, and now you're going to have a good job, and then the finances come in. But what's going to happen is you're going to be blessed above measure. He's going to pour you out blessings. You're going to have good health. You're going to have your car won't be broke down all the time. Situations in your life are going to be worked out because of the blessings of God. Many times we want to do things our way. Naaman came to, first of all, Naaman's wife had a servant which was an Israelite slave, and Naaman had leprosy. And the slave told, the Israelite told Naaman's wife, said, you know, there's a man down in named Elisha that, you know, if Naaman goes to see him, he'd probably get healed. Well, Naaman did have enough sense to go down to Elisha's house. And Naaman is a commander, you know, and he's an important guy. And surely Elisha's going to come out here and do some special spell, and everything's going to work out. Elisha didn't even go see Naaman. Naaman knocked on the door. The servant went to him. The servant said, well, Elisha said, go down here to the River Jordan and dip 7 times and you'll be healed. And Jordan's a muddy river. Man, there's rivers back in my home that are clean and pure. I want to go back there and do it. And one of his underlings said, look, Naaman, if Elisha asked you to do something great, you'd have done it. Because you want your own. You want to be made known because you're such an important man. But why don't you try what Elisha said? So we know the story. Naaman went ahead and dipped in the Jordan River 7 times, came out. The Bible said his skin was like baby skin. Man, can you imagine us older folks all of a sudden get skin like baby skin? Well, I'd be blessed, that's for sure. But as long as Naaman insisted on receiving healing on his terms, he remained as a leper. He continued to be a leper. We need to understand that the universe doesn't revolve around us. If God tells us, I've said before, and boy, I've got to rush. And I'll say it again. If the Scripture tells me I got to stand on my head in the corner 2 hours a day to be saved, then that's what I got to do. I know that's ridiculous and way out there. But whatever the Word of God says, I've got to do. And the Bible says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. When everything else is failing, read the instructions on the manual. You can't figure out how that works. Read the instructions. Well, why don't my microwave work? Read the instructions. Why isn't the refrigerator working right? Read the instructions. Why can't I have peace in my life? Read the instructions. Go to the Word of God. That's where you're going to find your peace. That's where you're going to find the instruction on what you have to do to be saved, what you have to do to be right. Praise God. And I've got the rush to and close. I wanted to talk about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I wanted to talk about the disciples in the storm. You know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, I am going to talk about that for just a minute. And Nebuchadnezzar raised a great statue. He said, now, when the music plays, everybody bow down to the statue. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had heard their mom and daddy talk about the law of God. And the law of God said, you'll put no other god before me. You'll not bow down to any other god. And I don't know how many in the crowd were Israelites. Think about that. But the Bible says everybody bowed before the statue, but these three men stood up strong and straight. And whether there was Israelites bowing, I don't know. All I know is about these three. And so they were brought to the king, and the king said, I'm going to play it one more time. Play the music one more time. Now you bow. And they said, we're not even careful how we're going to talk to you. If God wants to deliver us from the fiery furnace, he will. But he is going to deliver us from you. Hallelujah. Listen, that may sound cocky, that may sound arrogant, but what that is faith. Somebody putting God first. That's somebody saying, I'm going to serve God no matter what you say or what you think. That idol means nothing. That's just a statue. I serve a God that sits on the throne, praise God. And you know the story was they were thrown into the fiery furnace, and the soldiers throwing them in were killed because of the heat. And when the king looked in and said, did we so throw three in there? Bound and, yeah. Well, why do I see four loosed and walking around, and the fourth is like unto the Son of God? He may not keep us out of the fire, but he'll stay with us through the fire. Situations may come our way, and we may wonder, Lord, where are you? Look around, he's there. When they came out, they didn't even smell like smoke. Their garments weren't singed, and because God was with them. When we put God first, listen, his blessings are great. God didn't say he was going to keep us out of the fire, but his blessings are going to take us through it. Amen. All right, I'm going to go. We're going to be closing just a minute. God's blessings doesn't mean that he's going to make us a millionaire. Lord, I have a financial need. Would you let me win the lottery? There have been some that have prayed that. No. What his blessings are this: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. That's his blessings. That peace in the midst of the storm. Only Jesus can satisfy the soul. Oh, they ought to write a song about that. Only Jesus can satisfy your soul. God is such a good God. I think one of the greatest blessings I can receive is peace. What was it that he told the disciples when he appeared to them in the room? The 11 were all sitting around talking about what was going on, and they didn't believe Jesus had risen. They didn't know what was going on. What was the first thing Jesus said? Peace be unto you. Peace. When everything seems wrong and you're about to lose everything, let the peace of God touch your heart. Put God first. Amen. That's what they needed at that time. And today you might need a financial blessing, or you might need healing. You might need peace. You might need comfort. You might need some kind of encouragement. Maybe you need God's forgiveness. Maybe you need to repent. Maybe you need the Holy Ghost today. Honor God. Put him first in your life. And every aspect of your life, he will be your blessing. He will be your peace. He will be your comfort. He will be your answer no matter what it is that you have need of. Amen. We're going to go to the second part of our service in just about 15 minutes. But if there's anybody that seriously that need something special today, let God do that for you. Talk to God as we begin our second service. Talk to God. Lord, you know what my need is. Lord, here it is. I'm giving myself to you, Lord. And I'm putting you first. Now, Lord, would you bless me? Amen. Let's stand. God bless you. Thank you for listening. You're so such a good group of people. I love y'all. You know that? I really do. Amen. God, we thank you for your blessings. Thank you for the word of God. We ask that you would bless our hearts and our minds. Strengthen us through the power of your Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. Refreshments just outside the door, if that's what you want.